I want to take you back to a scene in Tanakh. It's the very end of Sefer Shoftim. It's a scene that many of us are probably not so familiar with. It's the civil war between Shevet Binyamin and the rest of the Jewish people. Now, for those that don't know the story, here's the story in a nutshell. There's a woman who is married to a husband. They don't get along so well. She runs back to her parents' home, and he eventually comes to try to bring her back. He brings her back. It takes a few days to finally leave. But they finally leave, and they're on their way back to his home, their home. And on their way, they realize, oh, we're not going to make it back in time. We need to pick a city to sleep in. And so they pick the nearest city, which is a city called Giv'ah, which is part of the ancestral plot of Shevet Binyamin. And they spend the night there. And in the middle of the night, there's a knock on the door, and it's the people of the city saying, we want to sodomize your guest, the man that's there. He says, ugh, leave me alone, take my pilegesh, take my concubine, his wife, the one that he had picked up, throws her outside, and he goes back to sleep. In the morning, he finds her on the door, nearly dead, and she dies. He's incensed. He cuts up her body, sends it to all the other tribes, and says, this is what Binyamin did. Now, the rest of the Jews are in an uproar. How could we do something like that? This is so debased. It's the story of Sodom and then some. So they all turn to Shevet Binyamin and say, hand over the city of Giv'ah. We want to mete out judgment to them. And Shevet Binyamin quite stubbornly refuses. And so the Jewish people say, well, if you don't hand over Binyamin, we're going to go to war. And they do. And it's a bloody battle on both sides. But in the end, despite the fact that Binyamin puts up a very, very fierce defense, they're nearly decimated. There only are a few hundred men that survive. And now the Jewish people are in a bind because they swear off that they won't associate with Binyamin. Binyamin is nearly disappearing. And then they come up with a compromise. And what else happens in the story? Open up the end of Shoftim, read it, learn it, understand it. There's a lot there. But why do I share this story on Erev Shavuos? This is not a message of, oh my goodness, this is where the Jewish people are. We really, really hope that we're not in that kind of place, that that's not where the Jewish head is. So why do I share this story? Because I think that story captures the moment of Sefer Ruth. Where does the book of Ruth come from? Where do we read it? Vayhi bimei shefot ha-shoftim, vayhi ra'av ba'aretz. It's in the times of the Shoftim that there's a famine in the land. It's another beautiful book that I tell you, I hope you spend hours and hours over Shavuos, as is my plan, studying it and understanding it and learning it. Such a beautiful book. It's simple and yet so complex. It's so deep, so powerful. So where is this book coming from? Vayhi bimei shefot ha-shoftim. It takes place in the times of the Shoftim. In the times of the Shoftim, when you could have a lawlessness like the end of Sefer Shoftim, where people don't care. They have no idea of what they're doing, and there could be civil war, and there's a lack of leadership in the land. That is the picture, the backdrop of Megillat Rut. When we open up the Megillah, you know what happens? We immediately meet Elimelech, and you sit there and say to yourself, how could this guy be? Everything the Medrash says to us. Share with you one beautiful medrash that I think captures the essence of Elimelech. It captures the essence of his decision, and it captures the essence of the period, and perhaps it even unlocks the key to understanding the entire perek and the entire book and the connection it has for us to Shavuos. Elimelech, the medrash says, where does he get his name from? So really, pshat would be Eli is from God is Melech, my king. God is my king. It's a beautiful name. But no, Chazal tell us, no, that's not Eli Melech. Eli Melech is Eli Melech. To me is the kingdom. Eli Melech is a person that says, I should be the king. So what is a king? What does it take to be a king? A king has to be a leader. A king has to be a visionary. A king has to have some sense of everything that's out there. And what is our king? What is Elimelech, the one that wants so badly to be the king? Vahirav ba'aretz, he goes and leaves. Why? Because he doesn't want to deal with the people. You can't be a king if you don't want to deal with the people. Leadership does not allow you to walk away from a scenario and a situation like that. But he does because he's not really fitting for the kingdom. He's not fitting for kingship, but he's fitting for his time. After all, isn't he exactly what the time is all about? Isn't he exactly what it looks like in the times of Shoftim? Everybody wants the mantle of leadership for the title, but not for the responsibility. Everybody has great aspirations for themselves, but they don't really want to do it. Now, we could spend many, 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 many more minutes trying to understand all of the names, but I just want to leave you with this one thought. Eli Melech, Eli Melech, but at the same time, Keli Melech, God is my king. Machlon and Kilion, what about their names? Machlon could be from Machala, which is sickness. It could be even the Medrash changes the letters to be Mechia, to be wiping out. Kilion is from Kilia, destruction. So are those really their names? Who would name their kid that? And we have other people in Tanakh with the name Machlon, and they're not bad people, and it's not a bad context. Machlon could be from Machol, circles of dancing. Kilion from Kalei, finished, complete. Those are their names. So which one is it? Elimelech, Machlon, Kilion, are they good names? Are they bad names? I'll share with you a beautiful idea by Dr. Yael Ziegler. Dr. Ziegler says that, you know what? When a parent names a child, they don't have bad thoughts in mind. They don't predict my child is going to be a horrific person. They strive and they hope and they pray that their kid will be something special, a gift to the world, something that will make the world a better place. That's what they hope. And yet what happens if they're not prepared, either because the parents don't give them the tools or because they're not willing to accept the tools and accept the responsibility and accept the mission? If they're not, then you know what happens? Machlon could go from Mecholot to Mechia. Kilion from Kalei to Kliya. Eli Melech from God is my king to Eli Melech. It can change like that. God says, I put it before you. Choose which one you want. But that's a decision you're going to have to make. What Shoftim lacked was people willing to make that decision. And so the long, hard road from Sefer Shoftim to Shmuel is full of so many people that had aspirations of greatness but couldn't actualize it because they just didn't have the drive or the push to make that happen. And so it's disappointing. And it's that disappointment after disappointment after disappointment that allows for the book to end on such a horrific note. Civil war, a Shevet almost destroyed, the question of what's going to be. That is how the book ends. So why do we read on Shavuot? Why do we read the Megillah, this story? Because this story also says this, but it doesn't have to be that way. Look at what can happen. You have someone like Ruth that breaks from the mold and says, I believe that I can be more. And let's do it. And so, what is our test? What is our task? What is our job? Our job at Matan Torah was, God says, I give you the greatest gift. I give you a code of laws that give you a playbook for success. but I have to want it. I have to accept it, and I have to choose that that's what I want to do. I'll end with a idea that I think is off topic, but hopefully pull it all together. Anybody that follows New York Knicks basketball knows that the New York Knicks have been a joke for the last who knows how many years. And they brought in a new coach, Tom Thibodeau. And he's been given more or less the same players that they've had for the last bunch of years. And how did he make it work? He gave them a playbook. And he said, if you believe in the system and you believe in yourselves, you can do it. Lahavdil Elef Alfei Havdalos. Isn't that what we get with Shavuos? God says to us, I give you a playbook. I'm your coach. But you got to believe in yourself. You have to want to do it. But if you do, look at what you have available to you. Your potential is so vast. There's so much opportunity. I ask you, will you take up that? That's the struggle of the characters in the Megillah. And that's the struggle of the entire Tkufa, the entire period of the Shoftim. But when it's all over, Oved is born. And Oved is the one that's going to go to Yishai, and Yishai to David. And David will take us as the link all the way to the end of days, to Melech HaMashiach. He is looking and waiting. We need to have that drive. We need to have that push. We need to want to do what needs to be done in order to actualize our potential. And if that happens, only imagine what we can accomplish. V'chag Sameach.